ಕೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಕೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನಾಚಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಗೌರನಿತಾಯ 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 ಜಯ 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 ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ 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 ಜಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪ್ರಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ His loving divine grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Pai Vrajagacharya Ashtotarshata. Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. ಜಯ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿರಾಜ್ ಗೋವರ್ಧನ್ ಕೇಜ ವ್ರಜಭೂಮಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೇಜ ಮಥುರಾ ದ್ವಾರಿಕಾ ಧಾಮ್ ಕೇಜ ಶ್ರೀಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ ಪುರಿಧಾಮ್ ಕೇಜ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ವಲ್ಲ ಸುಭದ್ರಾಮಯ್ಯ ಕೇಜ ಭಾಯಿ ಗೌರಚಂದ್ರ ಕೇಜ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೇಜ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೇಜ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೇ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयमुदीरये। नाष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके वक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिके। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमो नलिननेत्राय वेणुवाद्यविनोदिने राधा अधरसुधापान शालिने वनमालिने। महाभावस्वरूपास्त्वं कृष्णप्रियवरीयसि प्रेमभक्ति प्रदे देवी राधिका त्वं नमोस्तुते। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 25 The characteristics of King Puranjan, text 22. Sunasam Sudatim Balam Sukapolam Varananam Samavinyasta Karnabhyam Bibhratim कुण्डलश्रियम् सुनासाम् सुदतिम् बालाम् सूक्कपोलाम् वरानाम् समविन्यस्तकर्णाभ्याम् बिभ्रतिम् कुण्डलश्रियम् सुनासाम् सुदतिम् बालाम् सूकपोलां वरानां समविन्यस्तकर्णाभ्यां बिभ्रतिं कुण्डलश्रियं सूनासां सुदतिं बालां सूकपोलां वरानां समविन्यस्तकर्णाभ्यां बिभ्रतिं कुण्डलश्रियम्। Thank you. what word many. Sunasam, very beautiful nose. Sudatim, very beautiful teeth. Balam, the young woman. Sukapolam, nice forehead. Varananam, beautiful face. Sama, equally. Vinyasta, arranged. Karanabhyam, both ears. Bibhratim, dazzling. Kundalashriyam, having beautiful earrings. Translation and purport by His Loving Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki translation. The woman's nose, teeth and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with a dazzling earring. Purport. The body of intelligence enjoys the objects of sense gratification that cover it, such as smell, vision and hearing. The word sunasam, that is beautiful nose, indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is the instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste, for by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word sukapolam, that means nice forehead, indicates a clear brain capable of understanding things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set upon the two ears are placed there by the work of the intelligence. Thus, the ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shrita Padakamalam Shri Guruna Vaishnavan Chashi Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajam Sadhavaitam Savadhutam Varjanasitam Krishna Chaitam Nidevam Shri Radha Krishna Padana Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Tam Namahum Vishwapadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamana Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshitaya Vanchatu Baduru Bhashya Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Pavane Bho Vaishnave Bho Namo Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prevrati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishayama Panjadatvarmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shatya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurat Vishayama Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantaradha Kantanasara Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhano Sude Devi Pranamahe Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 One might get surprised by reading this particular translation where one of our great Acharya, Devarshi Narad, is explaining about the beauty of woman. And at the last line of this purport, Prabhupada says, the ways of acquiring knowledge are described in the metaphor. That's why we need Acharyas to understand the scripture. If someone reads this shloka, he might think that people generally consider that Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Puran, which explains about things which is Amala. Amala means which does not have any impurities. And if someone reads this shloka, I will say, what is this? Explanation about woman's beauty. And here in Srimad Bhagavatam, one may condemn it. But who is explaining this? That one has to understand. Devarshi Narad. From the birth itself, who is a Naishthika Brahmachari. He is explaining about that. And as we have discussed previously in last few days, this is one analogy given by Devarshi Narad to Maharaj Rashmi Babushi. And there he explains about the Jivatma as a Puranya, this body as a town, Bhogavati, where he can enjoy. And now he is explaining about that Puranya who is getting married with a woman which is none other than our own intelligence. In our scripture, there are two kinds of intelligence as described. Intelligence means buddhi. The function of intelligence to collect information and work on that. So there are two kinds of intelligence. One is material and one is spiritual. The material intelligence they call as a dehatma buddhi. And spiritual intelligence is known as a adhyatma buddhi. Dehatma means if living entity consider himself as a body and thinks according to that, and he works according to that, he plans according to that, then the intelligence, what he has to acquire a knowledge, that is known as a dehatma. And this is the description about that intelligence. One has to understand that if someone wants to be a preacher, how he has to handle the matter, how he has to pick up the subjects and put it in front of a person whom you want to make it understand. Here, he is giving wonderful example about material beauty and he is comparing it with the intelligence. Because in this world we can see people are becoming more attractive, not because of their beauty, but because of their brain. Most of the people, they get attracted toward them. And if someone has a proper brain for acquiring even the material things, people appreciate him. They give him respect. They follow him. They become his followers. And that we have seen. Napoleon, what was his physical size? Nothing more than 5 feet. But he ruled half of the Europe. Adolf Hitler, if you see his size, physically, what was he? He was also near about 5 feet only. But they used their brain, their material intelligence. And they used it. And they ruled. And people followed them. And they really created mess in this world. Because they used their dehatma buddhi, which is explained here, who is so much attractive for material enjoyment. And whatever they did, for material enjoyment, not for anything else. Then how to change this dehatma buddhi into adhyatma buddhi, or a proper intelligence, as Prabhupada says here, that the brain capable of understanding things as they are, which is known as a sad-asada viveka buddhi. The power of discrimination. If someone is taken over by this dehatma buddhi or gets attracted by this beautiful woman, which is none other than the dehatma buddhi, then definitely, as in previous verses it is explained, she has her 10 servants. Through which she controls. These, what are these 10 servants? 5 knowledge acquiring, senses, and five, through which we can perform actions. So these dasha indriyas, they are the servant of intelligence. And if intelligence is spoiled, which is oriented for the sense gratification, then definitely all the senses will drag you there. And that's why our great acharyas, in their prayers to their lordship, what they pray? Shankaracharya, when he offers his prayer to Lord Narasimha, he says that andhasya me rita viveka mahadhanasya chorer mahabalibhir indriya namadheye mohandakar kuhre vinipaditasya lakshmi narasimha mamadehi karavalambha. In his Karavalambham stotra, in front of Lakshmi Narasimha at Ahobilam, he prayed, "O my Lord, andhasya me rita viveka mahadhanasya." Viveka means a spiritual intelligence through which one can decide which is good, which is bad. Sad asada viveka buddhi. He said, andhasya, without that I am blind. Then what happened to this intelligence? He says, chorer mahabalibhir indriya namadheyai. This intelligence has taken away or stolen away by indriya namadheye, chorer indriya namadheye. The thieves, known as the senses, they have taken away my intelligence. And that's why I offer my respected obeisances at your lotus feet. And please bless me. Because the spiritual intelligence never comes by our own endeavor. It is given by Lord Himself. And that has clearly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Anybody remembers that shloka? What's that? Tesham satat yuktana bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam tenamam upayantiye. If you want to go closer to the Lord, then He gives intelligence. It's not that by your own endeavor you can acquire that intelligence. But that is given by Lord Himself. And how He gives and whom He gives? He gives to them who take shelter of His devotees. And what devotees teach them? To take shelter of the Lord. They train them how one should pray. For a common living entity, it's not possible for them to understand what they should pray in front of the Lord. How they should pray and why they should pray. And that's why we need acharyas. Because they tell us what is what. Like there is one nice shloka. I will just. It's like a. Maybe a. It's good actually. When you go out for preaching, you should know all this thing. Because generally people say, hey, why you need guru? There are scriptures. We can read and we can understand. Like there is one shloka, it comes like Keshavam Patitam Drashtva Harsharam Pandavam Harshara Yuhara Rodati Kauravam Tatra Ha Keshava Ha Keshava Ha Keshava. If you take a plain text in Sanskrit and you try to understand, it's like a Keshavam Patitam Drashtva means they saw that Keshava has fallen. Kauravam Harshanirbhara. Kauravas, they become happy. Pandava Harshanirbhara. Pandavas, they become happy. Rudati Kauravam Chaiva. Kauravas, they started crying. Ha Keshava, Ha Keshava. Any devotee, if he hears that, what he will think? Have you gone crazy? You are explaining that Pandavas were happy when Lord fell down and Kauravas were crying for that. But if you go in the deep, try to understand the meanings of word, you will understand what it is. Keshava Paditam Drishtva. K in Sanskrit called as a horse. Shava means dead body. When the dead body of horse fallen into the water, Pandava Harshanirbhara. Pa means water, anda means from eggs. Who comes from eggs in water? Fish. When they saw a dead horse fallen in the water, they were happy. Rudati Kauravam Tatra. But where? Crows, they started crying. Kaurava means crows. They started crying. Oh, what the hell? This horse dead body has fallen into the water. Because they can't enjoy it. They can't eat it. So it's like a twisted meaning of the verse. And to make it understand, we need acharyas who know the real purport of that. And that's why to make this, see, the spiritualism or spiritual activities or this philosophy, everything is heavy. It's not a diluted. And to accept that, one has to be capable of. And to give that capabilities, acharyas are there. They do it. They make it understand. If you read purport, then only you will understand that this verse is meant for intelligence. Otherwise, the translation itself explains about the external beauty of woman. One may get perplexed, confused. But the real meaning has given by acharyas. Prabhupada has, in his purport, he explains that the things needed for gratification are there. Sense object is also there. Senses are also there. But the happiness derived from that is enjoyed by the intelligence. Not by the senses or not by the object even. Both things are there, but as long as intelligence is not working properly, then you can't enjoy. You will not understand that whether this thing is giving me happiness or this thing is giving me a sorrow. And that's why one has to understand it. Otherwise, it becomes really difficult to do anything, whether material or spiritual. Externally, physically, one may be a capable person. But if his intelligence is not cooperating with his senses, then he can't enjoy. He can't have that happiness of some enjoyment. Then whether spiritual or material, if you want to get happiness, you need to have an intelligence. And Prabhupada says that he has given that intelligence to us. Once one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, what is this? You know, we are not qualified. Whatever we are getting, that's just your mercy. And Prabhupada said, that's the proper intelligence. Because you understand the real fact that you are not qualified and someone is giving you qualification and you are grateful to him. So if you want to have a proper intelligence, one has to pray to the Lord. And then he gives. Otherwise it's not that he is ready and he is distributing like whoever comes and one can take that. No. He is very selective for that. When he appeared in front of Dhruva. Dhruva, he followed path of Dhyana Yoga. He performed that Ashtanga Yoga so strictly. He conquered even all five elements. Forget about 10 senses. But he became a master of five elements in the whole universe. He became so powerful. But that powerful personality also can't glorify the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Because that does not give you an intelligence through which you can understand the Lord. Lord says that, Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Who? He said, I give them intelligence. And he showed it in Dhruva Maharaja's pastime. He asked Dhruva, okay, you glorify me. He was spellbound. Means even a jivatma, he may have any body. But his intelligence is powerful, through which he can conquer all five subtle elements even, and gross elements. But still, he is not able to speak anything about the glory of Supreme Personality of a Godhead. That happens only when Lord becomes merciful on him. And that's why when Prabhupada, he went to US, on the way he wrote one poem. And what he said in that, oh, my Lord, I don't have any intelligence. It's you who is speaking through me. It's you who is giving knowledge to others from me. Through me. And that's why Lord says that I give them intelligence. And when devotees, they go in front of the Lord, they pray for that. Oh my Lord, the function of intelligence is one more also, that is remembering and forgetting. They always pray at the lotus feet of Lord. Avismriti tat charana arvindam. Oh my Lord, don't make me forget about your lotus feet. Maharaj Kulashekar, if you read that 52 verses written by him in Mukundamala Stotra, there are 6 prominent verses where he prays to their Lordship. Oh my Lord, please make me remember your lotus feet. You put me anywhere. Diviva bhuviva mamapi vaso swargeshuva narakanta prakamam. Whether you put me in Divya Svarga, Bhauma Svarga or Vilva Svarga, I don't mind. Why? As long as I'm not forgetting your lotus feet. Then he says that if you want, you can put me again in this material world. Mukunda Murthana Pranipatya Ache Bhavantam Ekantam Yantam Artham Bhave Bhave Metu Bhavat Prasada. You put me again here in this material world, again and again. But do one favor on me. Avismriti Tat Charanarvinda. Make sure that I should not forget your lotus feet. That's what devotees, they pray in front of the Lord. Because by His mercy it's possible. Otherwise it's difficult. And that's why one has to understand, whatever beautiful you see in this material world, which is alluring your mind, is nothing but the spell created by your intelligence. Nothing else. That's just imagination. Someone says that, okay, that person is away from me and he may give me more happiness. But that's just imagination of your mind. Or brain, or your brain or intelligence, make sure that you should feel like that. But it never happens. That's why in Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, every chapter, Lord uses this particular word, buddhi. You will find at least 2 shlokas in each chapter about intelligence. How one should engage his intelligence in maya arpita mano buddhir. Offer your mind and intelligence in my service. Machita was the first shloka of 7th chapter. Maya asakta manapartha. And there are so many verses where Lord indicates that this mind and intelligence should be engaged in His service. Because they are more subtler. Grossly we may, but subtle it's very difficult. And that's why again and again giving emphasis on that. I will tell you one story. Like Madhvacharya, once he was traveling in South India and preaching about his Dvaitavad, then few of his disciples, they were from Brahmin family, well-cultured and nicely trained in Vedic scriptures. So at one place, there was a debate and Madhvacharya defeated the opponent person. And that time they were all happy. And once of a sudden, few of his sannyasi disciples went to him and they asked, "Dear Guru Maharaj, can you tell us that whatever you are explaining, who is the qualified person amongst us who knows it perfectly? Who has understood it?" Madhvacharya just gave one glance. He looked at everyone. And he said, "None of you." All they were surprised. They said, "What is this? We have gone through whatever you have written. We have studied all the scriptures. We have attended each and every a single conversation you had with anyone. We shared it. We knew it. On top of that, we are traveling with you. We are having your intimate association. But we are not understanding anything. How come? Then they said, okay, then tell us, who is there who knows that what you have spoken, what you have established? Then Madhvacharya looked at the bull. One bull was standing there. He said, this one. He said, what's that? Bull? Generally a dull-headed person is known as a bull-headed. And you say that this bull has understood whole essence that you have taught? How come? Then they were so powerful, having Brahminical culture followed for so many years. They cursed that bull so that he should die. And the next day, one snake came, he bit him and that bull died. Then Madhvacharya, he wound up his pastimes and he went back. Then few of his sannyasis still they were thinking, who is that? Who will be the next person who will guide us? Because the Madhva philosophy, what he has presented in a such a manner that it's very difficult to understand them even, what to speak of others. And then, near Mangalveda, near Pandharpur, there was one Brahmin family. They had one son. They have only one son. And they wanted that he was very healthy, very sturdy person, like a warrior. So they were thinking that let him get married. They were trying to preach him. But he was not ready for that thing. Somehow he was reluctant. Because one of his uncle was Adhok Akshobhya Tirtha, the disciple of Madhvacharya. And he was a bit attached to him. So one day when he was having a horse riding, he went to Chandrabhaga. And he was very thirsty. So he was sitting on the horse. He went directly with the horse itself in the water. Rather than getting down from the horse and drinking water, he sat on the horse. He took horse in the water till the water comes up to his mouth. And he started drinking like that. Then Akshobhya Tirtha was sitting under the tree opposite bank. He saw and he just said, still, you are having a Pashu Buddhi. He heard that and immediately something happened to him. He got down from the horse, ran to him. He offered his dandavana. He said, what you said? He said, yeah, same, you are carrying your Pashu Buddhi, the animalistic intelligence. Then he said, do you know something about me? He said, I know everything about you. Let the time come and you yourself will exhibit everything. And then he went back. Then he asked him, okay, get married. So they arranged his marriage. And the day he got married, that night itself, her wife saw a big snake sitting on a bed. And she just ran away, that's it. Then he had an agreement with his father that if first night if she stays with me, I will stay with her whole life. But first night if she leaves me, then forget, I'm going to take sannyas. And the first night itself, she saw the big serpent sitting on a bed. And that was enough. She ran away. Then he also ran away from home. He took sannyas. And he became Jayatirtha. And he wrote his commentaries on Madhva's philosophy. That's why he known as a Tikacharya also. Then question comes, who is he? What is his identity? He is none other than the Arjuna himself. During Mahabharata, when the war was over, the Lord asked Arjuna, get down from the chariot. The whole war was over. Everyone was getting down from their chariot. Then Lord asked Arjuna, okay, get down now. And Arjuna was a bit puffed up. He said, you are charioteer. First you should get down. You are chariot driver. And I am a person whom you are carrying. So it's better that you should get down first. Then there was a bit argument in between both of them. And that time, that cart, that chariot had a flag. What's the name of that flag? Kapidhvaj. And who was sitting on that flag? Hanumanji. Hanumanji said, "Oh Pashubuddhi, get down. You are none other than the Pashu himself. And I curse you, you should become an animal." And then Hanumanji explained him, "This is not the way. You still think that you have killed all of them. But just see who was sitting in front of you. You just get down and see what happens." Then Arjuna got down from there. Lord also got down. And immediately all the astras sent on Arjuna, they showed their effect when Lord got down from the chariot. It was a big explosion. Everything got messed there. That same Arjuna became a bull in this Madhvacharya's pastime. The bull who carried all his literature, whatever Madhvacharya has written, he had his library. And previous those days they never had any van. So their van was bullock cart. So this bull used to carry all his books on his shoulder. And wherever there is a debate, he used to come and stand there. And that's why Madhva said, "He has understood and he will explain." And that same bull, he reborn as a Tikacharya, Jayatirtha. Here we can understand, through the mercy of devotee, one get intelligence. Through which we can understand their lordship. None of our endeavor. It's not that we may acquire. No. You may be expert in dhyana yoga, you may be expert in karma yoga, you may be expert in knowledge. But to understand Lord, to glorify Him, whatever spiritual intelligence is required, that comes by the mercy of devotee. And that's why we say, when we call any devotee, we put HG. What is that HG? Means what? That person is a personification of mercy of Lord. So without Lord's mercy, we don't have any meaning to our lives. And His mercy comes through devotees, through scriptures, and wonderful association of devotees. So let's pray that Prabhupada has given such a wonderful chance for us to associate with the devotees. We should take advantage of that and perfect our life. Hare Krishna. Any question? Comment? Randhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.